Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Brian Black.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Hi, how are you?
Oh, not too bad.
All right.
Taking a break out of my busy day to talk about movies.
It's so kind of you to do that, to carve time out of your busy life. I know you are a very in-demand person.
I wasn't aware of that.
So the big release this week, I mean, box office-wise, is probably Edge of Darkness, the comeback vehicle for Mel Gibson.
I like Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I'm a Mel Gibson fan. I'm not going to lie. He's one of those actors that I'm always willing to give a shot.
Yeah.
And I generally like his movies. And I'll say, I watched the trailer for this movie and was medium excited to see it.
Well, that's unfortunate because I know I think this was a disappointing film. I don't know if I would call myself a Mel Gibson fan, but I do think he's a decent actor. And it's been a long time since he's been on screen, so I suppose it was nice.
When was the last Mel Gibson movie?
The last, like, starring role for Mel Gibson was Signs, I believe, in, like,
really?
2002. Yeah, I was looking, and he was in The Singing Detective in 2003, but he was, like, he had a small-ish part in that.
Like a cameo or whatever?
Well, it was bigger than a cameo, but okay. He was definitely not the lead. And that was the last movie he was in, like, at all.
That's not good.
Think. So, well, you know, he had a few problems.
Sure, sure. Apocalypto? No.
I actually liked Apocalypto.
I thought Apocalypto
was good. So, yeah, I mean, he's done that. He directed The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And he directed Apocalypto. And then he had a bit of a detour with the whole drunken racism rehab, all that stuff.
Right.
Leaving his wife, getting a new girlfriend, having his...
Yeah, I didn't even know about all that.
8 millionth child. He just had a kid again with his new... You know, 25 years younger than him, girlfriend or
whatever. Nothing wrong with that.
So he's been busy.
I strongly support that. Okay, but he decided he needed a couple of more dollars.
So he's back on screen. And I don't know. I would say that the problems with this movie are not necessarily Mel Gibson's fault. Mel Gibson plays a Boston police officer who his daughter, who's his adult daughter, is visiting him.
Mm-hmm.
And she is... gunned down right in front of his house,
right.
And he is out for revenge. So
right.
It's like the plot of a Steven Seagal movie, kind of.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is that I felt like you said, Mel, he performed well.
Yeah.
He did a passable accent. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but it was certainly not the worst I've heard this year.
He gave it an effort.
You know, it was enough. It was better than Harrison Ford and The Widowmaker or whatever the hell it was when he was trying
Russian
to be a
accent.
Russian
yeah.
thing. Yeah, that wasn't cool.
No.
But, you know, I mean, the setup was good. The trailer was good.
The follow-through, less so.
Well, it's because I felt like they couldn't decide what kind of movie they wanted to make.
Right.
Whether they wanted an action revenge thriller, which I was all for, or whether they wanted a really contemplative or a contemplative father missing his daughter kind of sad story.
Right. Or there's also sort of a political conspiracy aspect to this story as well.
And none of them really got full service.
No, they don't. And that's disappointing. And it was interesting to me. This is based on a miniseries, a BBC miniseries from 1985.
Really?
Yeah, a 6-hour miniseries from 1985, which is apparently really highly acclaimed.
Right.
Was directed by the same guy.
Huh.
Although not written. The writer, I believe, is dead.
Well, the director was Martin Campbell.
Martin Campbell, right. Who's done, he did a couple James Bond movies,
right.
including Casino Royale, which I think is a
well-directed movie.
Absolutely. And he did both of the Zorro movies with Antonio Banderas.
First of which I enjoyed.
He's about to do the Green Lantern movie.
Is he really?
He is indeed.
Huh.
So
that's going to suck.
Probably, yes, with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I don't really have high hopes for that.
No,
but
not at all.
Yeah, so but the original miniseries, which I have not seen, but I was reading about it because I was curious, and apparently it's extremely political.
Right.
And it's very much, it's like a big environmentalist parable.
Sure, sure.
And that was interesting to me because the political stuff and the conspiracy stuff in this movie seemed almost like an afterthought.
Right.
Like, we'll throw that in to make it seem relevant, but it's totally not in any way.
Yeah, it was a plot device that didn't work. And also, I think that maybe they were trying to tone it down. Like, once again, I think they couldn't decide what kind of movie they wanted to make. Like, maybe they had this anti-government or anti-big government anti-nuclear industry type of parable going on. But then they said, no, we need more action. And so we're going to stick in all these scenes where he says clever Arnold Schwarzenegger-like lines, which by themselves, completely out of context, were completely trailer-worthy.
In the trailer.
Yeah, trailer-worthy stuff, you know. But there were three different movies going on. Yeah. A lot of superfluous characters.
Right.
The boyfriend.
Yeah. And
who served no purpose whatsoever.
They're just fodder to get murdered.
Yeah. And it was. Well, and then there is the big evil corporation, which is sort of like the government, but sort of not. They work for the government, but they're rogue. And so you don't really, I don't know what they were trying to say, but it didn't work because the main bad guy was made out of paper. There was no depth to him at all. You didn't know why he was doing anything that he was doing.
And he wasn't even in the movie half the time.
Yeah, he didn't really do much.
There's all sorts of digressions and
different avenues.
Well,
there were four bad guys.
Yeah, there were way too many bad guys, and none of them were bad enough.
Yeah, none of them were bad enough. None of them had any real personality. In fact, it seems like they wasted the bad guy personality on Winstone.
Ray Winstone,
who I don't know what
he
was doing there.
Some sort of mysterious figure who is – it was really hard to tell what his character was supposed to be because he's hired by the bad guys at first. But then he helps Mel Gibson.
Right.
But it's not really clear why, if he has become a good guy or he's just fed up with the bad guys.
And he's not even interesting enough to make you wonder that stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's no real backstory there.
He has one scene, I think, where he goes to the doctor and they're trying to give him depth about he has some sort of illness or whatever. Right. I mean, again, reading about the original miniseries, it sounded like he was, as a character, a lot more integrated.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. It seems like they took all the good scenes out of the miniseries, crammed them together into a movie, and forgot that they had to explain all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point where the boyfriend is introduced, and he's terrified for his life, but nothing in the story before that has told you why this guy would be terrified for his life.
And it doesn't really come across later, either,
I
don't think. He just ends up getting, well, I don't want
to
ruin...
Getting what's coming to him.
Exactly. He gets something.
Yes.
And it's the Ray Winstone part also was originally Robert De Niro was cast and showed up for filming and left after like a couple days.
Because he realized what a crappy movie this was.
Apparently. And if Robert De Niro thinks your movie is crappy, then you have a problem because Robert De Niro is willing to be in some crappy movies.
Oh, yeah. Stardust.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not even the worst of it. But anyway, that's a whole extra discussion. Wow. So, yeah, I don't know. I would say I was vacillating because I felt like Mel Gibson gave a good performance and there were some strong elements. I was sort of saying like maybe two and a half stars out of five. I don't know. I'm going to give it 2.25 stars.
Yeah, I'd go for about two.
Yeah.
Honestly. I was very disappointed. And, you know, not that I had super high hopes for it. I just thought it would be a simpler movie than it was. The screenplay was very uneven. It just didn't do. Oh, and about the screenplay, they kept sticking in these odd literary touches that, I don't know, they were talking about Diogenes and they were talking about, F. Scott Fitzgerald. And these characters who would be speaking in a certain tone and a certain manner would suddenly burst out with these really, I wouldn't call it eloquent, but just kind of splendiferous kinds of, I don't know, it didn't make any sense. It's like they had a script doctor come in who had a completely different idea of what the people were supposed to be saying. The dialogue, not very good in this movie.
No, it's not, other than those sort of snappy one-liners that you can see in the trailer. But I wonder if that's, again, a vestige maybe of the original miniseries that was a lot more contemplative and a lot more philosophical and whatever. And
they took the good lines out of a 6-hour miniseries, tried to cram them together without realizing there should be words in between.
Yeah, and it doesn't work. It's a shame. So hopefully Mel Gibson will, have a better comeback vehicle.
Apocalypse 2.
Oh!
Yes.
Yeah. We'll wait for that.
No, yeah.
Probably not. So also opening this week, finally in Las Vegas, has been playing elsewhere for a while and has gotten a lot of Oscar buzz for Jeff Bridges, who plays the lead role, is Crazy Heart. It's not a biopic, but it's sort of like a pseudo-biopic, composite of various old grizzled country singers. And Jeff Bridges plays Bad Blake, who's sort of a Chris Christopherson, Willie Nelson.
Man,
Merle
he looks
Haggard.
Like Chris Christopherson.
He really does look
in
like
this
Chris
movie.
Christopherson.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
You would think they could have just, you know,
saved
a little money. And
too old for it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, Chris Christopherson's got to be a good 15, 20 years older than
is
Jeff
he?
Bridges. He's kind of
well,
old.
I thought Jeff Bridges was playing old in this, too.
That may be true, yeah.
So, I don't know. I actually was thinking, you know, they could have saved a little money and just gotten him to play himself.
Although, I don't think it really cost all that much money because this was originally at one point a straight-to-video movie that was rescued from that and has now become sort of
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I hadn't realized that until I saw that the other day. But Jeff Bridges gives a good performance.
A great performance, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that, but I liked his performance in this movie. I think it's been a little overblown.
You know, this is the thing. I'm not saying that it's the greatest thing I've ever seen by any means, you know. And I'm not really sure because, honestly, I don't know if I've seen all the Oscar contenders this year.
Right.
But I would say, you know, I've seen Oscar contenders who weren't nearly as good as this. I thought
true.
It was a really believable character. He was doing all the little Jeff Bridgesisms in there, you know, how he smokes his cigarette by raising his elbow up to the level of his chin for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but he does that in every movie. But it was really good. It was a complete character. I kind of forgot that it was him, which is the most important thing. You know,
right.
I
got past him. He did inhabit the character very well.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. It was enjoyable. It was a smile-inducing kind of movie. Nothing too heavy.
Yeah.
You know, for as grim as I think it wants to be, it was kind of feel-goody.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those movies where you know that, sure, he's down on his luck at the beginning of the movie and he's
It seemed like he was having pretty much fun. Yeah. I really didn't – I didn't get the gravity. I think that they thought this movie was a lot more grim and a lot more important than it really is. Honestly, I could see, like, my grandparents loving this movie, you know?
It's definitely a crowd-pleasing
This isn't The Hustler.
No.
You know, and so I mean, it's just I don't know. I really enjoyed watching it. You know, it was an enjoyable experience.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that this is what they thought it was. I think this was an indie movie that thought that it was more of an indie movie than it really is.
Well, it is really very formulaic. I mean, I think regardless, even though I did find it a little grim at first, but I think you know, even if you see it as grim at the beginning, you know that eventually the guy's going to get his redemption. This is not a movie about on a guy being on a
I wanted to
spiral.
See him skid into the depths.
Well, but you didn't really expect that to happen.
I kind of thought that might happen. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of thought that this was one of those movies where, he got a little ray of sunshine and then goes sliding into the depths. And I felt it was a little formulaic.
It's definitely formulaic. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if maybe miscast is the wrong word here. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she did a fine job. She did exactly what she was supposed to do. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think that an older actress would have been better for this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think part of she plays this journalist who is sort of the vehicle by which Jeff Bridges gets his redemption.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of the turning point for him.
Sure, because, no, I agree with that. I just,
right, yeah. I actually quite liked her performance in this movie, and I think part of the point is that she's so much younger than him. And although you can look at that as sort of an icky, weird relationship, I mean, it's her youth and the fact that she's got stuff to live for and she's got this young son and all this stuff that brings him out of his depression or his whatever he's in and allows him to sort of face life again, which is all a bunch of cliches.
Sure, well,
but
my problem with that, though, and it's only a small problem, actually, because I really did enjoy your performance. My problem with that is that there was really not much explanation as to what went on with her in the past, why she is the way she is, what's going on with her career, why she would end up with a guy like this. Virtually no explanation. And I feel like a woman who just without having to explain, you could just look at her and feel that,
the,
you know,
like weight of,
yeah, exactly. Like, you know, somebody, you know, say 10 years older,
yeah,
that she's still on the younger side, but I just felt like there wasn't enough gravity to her character. And like, I felt like, well, okay, so she, I'm sorry if I'm ruining this, she falls in love with the main character kind of because the script tells her to.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if we had had a woman who had obviously been through a few more perils and trials or whatever, who's kind of looking for something as well, I just think it would have worked a little bit better. But, you know, that being said, I thought she did a great job. I thought she, you know, very sympathetic, very cool, all the right moves. It just seemed like she should have waited 10 years to play this role.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's less about the age of the actress and more. I think you're not wrong about there being a lack of backstory to that character.
Right.
And that because this movie really isn't about her. I mean, she is really just sort of like a tool for the main character to grow, which is, I'm sure, frustrating, you know, as for an actress or whatever. But the bottom line is this movie is about Jeff Bridges.
Sure.
It's about Bad Blake, and she's kind of on the supporting end. But, you know, you're right that they could have balanced it a little better and it would have maybe given more weight to their relationship, you could have invested in it more, whereas it seems like it's just sort of following this prescribed formula.
Absolutely. You know, I think that would have helped out his character even more, too, you know, because, you know, there would have been a reason for the things that he does.
Yeah, I think that would have helped. So, but even so, I enjoyed this. And I think one of the other important things about this movie is that it has great music.
Yeah,
I
really like the music, actually. And once again, I think they thought it was better than it was, but it was still great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot, especially the original stuff. And, you know, they're doing their own singing.
Right.
I don't know if it's a surprise, but Colin Farrell, my least favorite actor in the world, I hate him. He's in this movie. And does an okay job. There's nothing wrong with what he did.
He
still looks like a tool, but
right.
he sings.
Yeah,
he sings. Just
his
like
character is kind of a tool, so it almost works out for him.
But you know, it's actually I'm stealing this from another review, I think, where it was kind of nice that he wasn't exactly who you would think he would be in the formula. Like you know, the formula calls for him to be an ungrateful ass,
right.
And he's not really. He's just a regular guy who.
He's kind of caught up in the
He was the protege of
right.
Bad Blake, and he actually is grateful, you know, but only in a regular way. He's not overly grateful, but he's also not that ass that, you know, spurns his mentor and leaves him behind or whatever.
Right.
I thought it was a decent character, even though I cannot stand Colin Farrell. Jeez.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I was surprised.
Ponytail. Well, all the way through the movie.
But again, I think that's part of the character, that he's supposed to be this sort of slick, you know, image-obsessed guy where you're supposed to look at the ponytail and be like, that ponytail is ridiculous because it clearly is.
Yeah.
So I thought...
Which is why they cast Colin Farrell.
Yeah, because he looks like that kind of tool. But I was very skeptical of his ability to, A, sound like a Southern American, and B, to sing. And I thought he did both of those remarkably well.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, neither Colin Farrell nor Jeff Bridges are like amazing singers. But for the characters that they play, I think they believably sell the music. And I have the soundtrack, and I enjoy listening to it.
Well, I was especially impressed with Jeff Bridges. And he's really playing the guitar. I don't know if the guitar – I'm sure the guitar you hear isn't what he's playing, but he's really playing the actual songs
right.
as
well,
he's
doing.
Well,
he's actually a musician who has released several albums.
So, it's very realistic, very cool, very – you know, he definitely is a country singer in this movie.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. I agree. So, yeah, I like this movie. Like you said, it's not a brilliant movie, but it's entertaining. I would give it probably 3 out of 5 stars.
See, I'd be closer to the 4
wow,
to
really?
Tell the truth. Because overall, the sum was greater than the parts for me because it really gelled and it worked and I was happy watching it the whole time and I didn't look back on it and my feeling for it didn't go down, which often happens after a movie that doesn't, you know, isn't, you know, it's pretty logical. Yeah, I'd say 4 out of 5, honestly.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, either way, I think it's definitely worth seeing, and Jeff Bridges is a great actor who deserves whatever attention he's getting. So.
Absolutely.
Check that one out. And briefly, do not go see When in Rome.
Is that Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell, who I really like, and I wish she would
I'd
be
say
in a
that,
better movie.
Honestly, I was going to say, isn't it worth whatever it costs just to go to the theater and watch her?
It really isn't.
It's
that
not?
That is how bad this movie is.
Because she's pretty hot.
She is definitely hot.
Yeah.
And a good actress. And I used to love Veronica Mars.
Okay.
She was awesome on that show. And she's had some decent supporting roles, like in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Sure.
And this is her sort of big, now I'm going to be a movie star kind of thing.
And it's not good, huh?
And it's really, really, really bad.
Really bad.
Really bad. Worse than I expected it to be. And I don't have high hopes at all.
Is it worse than Confessions of a Shopaholic?
It is.
Really?
Yes.
Because that
really
was terrible.
Is. That was terrible.
You made me go see that.
I did. Yes, I was dragging you in chains to see that movie. No, this movie is really awful. Kristen Bell is a... the career-obsessed woman who wants to find love but can't take the time to do it and won't open her heart.
Right.
And all that same crap that you get in every romantic comedy.
Kind of a Sandra Bullock from 10 years ago movie.
Yeah, or whatever. Or Amy Adams in Leap Year, which was just like a couple weeks ago. And she's another really appealing actress who just made this awful, awful movie. And the gimmick here is that she goes to Rome and she steals these coins out of this love fountain and it makes these guys fall in love with her who are wrong for her, of course.
Oh, so it's like a mystical movie?
Yeah,
like,
it's slightly mystical.
Like, what was that movie with Sarah Michelle Gellar with the magic crab?
Oh, was it with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yes, she had the restaurant and she had a magic crab.
Yes,
that was
sadly.
Terrible.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that
So
movie.
Was it that terrible?
I don't know if
was it was worse than the Magic Crab?
I don't know if it was Magic Crab terrible, but it was definitely terrible.
Okay.
And every awful, obvious room. I was sitting there with my friend watching it, and we were just predicting every single line and every single twist. And
so there wasn't any comfort in the formula, though.
No, there's really not, because it's not believable in any way. And it just throws these horribly contrived obstacles between her and the one dude that she really wants to fall in love with.
Right.
Played by Josh Duhamel. And instead, she's got these crazy weird guys, Danny DeVito and Will Arnett and John Heder, who is still in movies for some reason, all coming at her.
Right.
No, it's just... And the character is not likable. That's, I think, what's so much... huge problem with all these romantic comedies, that the formula sets up these women to be really unlikable if you think about it.
Right.
And so you're not even really rooting for them to get together, and it's just really awful slapsticky comedy, and it's not funny, and it's just painful to watch. So,
will chicks like it, though?
Stupid people maybe will like it.
Right.
But no, I think it's unfair to say that, oh, this is a movie for women, so we're going to throw out our standards and they'll
like
it.
No, I'm not saying that. But then again, you know, being who I am, I sometimes just don't get it. Like, sometimes I'll watch a movie and say, that's a terrible movie, but every woman that I know loves that movie.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of movies that I see, and you could look at the flip side and say, you can watch Transformers, and I think, oh, man, that's a terrible movie, but there are loads of guys out there who love it.
Yeah,
I think on both sides, you want to say, no, we should really have actual standards, and we want movies to be good.
Because there are good romantic
there
comedies.
There absolutely are good
that.
Romantic movies, and this is not one of them. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
So how many stars?
I give it like 1.5 stars.
Really?
It's an extra half star because I do like Kristen Bell.
What was the one for?
Yeah, I don't know.
So really a half star,
isn't
it?
It's like because the camera is pointed in the right direction. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's because there are worse movies. And you can't give it the – in fact, the writers of this movie also wrote Old Dogs, which is in fact a worse movie.
Old Dogs.
With Robin Williams and John Travolta.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that's bad.
Which was absolutely one of the worst movies of 2009. It was – and I we discussed it on the Worst of the Year podcast recently. And it's worse than this. It is more painful.
Let me ask you a question real quick. How long is this podcast supposed to be?
20 to 25 minutes.
Okay, real quick. Have you ever noticed that when people use the 10-star scale instead of the 5-star scale, they never really go below 5?
On
rare circumstances, but you know, whenever I do the 10, I went to see a movie, The Book of Eli, the other day, and somebody asked me, and I didn't particularly like it, but I didn't hate it either. They asked me what I would give it on the scale, and I said a 7.
Wow, that's a really
that's
good
a really
rating.
Good rating.
Yes,
but
really
I was
is.
Really only using the top 5 stars. So I'm going to go to your scale. I'm going to start doing the 5-star scale. And it's a little more honest, I think.
Well, you could just translate it. See, if you use the 5-star scale and you mentally double it. And
you would
then
think.
You
would think, but
you
I don't.
Do that.
I rarely give anything below 5 stars unless I think it's absolutely horrible, like the Magic Crab movie, and then it gets 1.
Then it gets 1, right.
You know.
It's just 5 plus or 1.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Nothing in between.
So.
Well, that is something to contemplate.
Yes.
Real quickly, before we wrap it up, I do want to mention one movie that's coming out on DVD this coming Tuesday, which was on my top 10 list for 2009. It's a movie that I think very few people saw because it got a very small release. It's a horror movie called The House of the Devil from Ty West. It's incredibly well-crafted. One of the most tense movies that I've ever seen. And it's not the kind of horror movie that is – it's not full of gore or lots of dismemberment or anything like that. It's actually incredibly slow.
Right.
But the way that he builds sort of using your expectations and you're constantly waiting for something horrific to happen.
Right.
So that by the time things do happen, you are so on the edge of your seat that it's just like – unbelievably almost unbearable, and it's just really well acted and the atmosphere is perfect. It's very much like an 80s throwback kind of thing,
okay,
but in a good way. And it's again, it got a very small release theatrically. I saw it at the Fangoria Trinity of Terrors Festival here, but it didn't play in theaters otherwise in Vegas. But people should definitely check that out on DVD, The House of the Devil. And that's out on Tuesday. And Crazy Heart in theaters. Definitely something to
absolutely.
See, I think. And don't see When in Rome. I didn't.
No.
I hadn't intended to really go all out on that. But
yeah,
just,
but you really
I
hated
really didn't
it.
Like it.
Yeah. So if it were a 10-star scale, you'd still give it 1 star.
Well, no, I mean, if you translate, I might give it like 3 out of 10.
What
or
is wrong with you? Why would you give it 3 stars? What are those stars for?
Because, again, I mean, it's not that the stars are positive.
What would be a zero-star movie? Well, one that doesn't have any image on the screen at all?
Any value. I mean, there are movies that I hated more than this.
Okay.
And if you give every movie 1, then you have nowhere to go below. It's like,
gotcha.
You could say, I really like this movie. I give it an 8 out of 10.
What was the last 1-star movie that you had?
One out of 10 stars?
1 out of 10.
I probably would have given Old Dogs maybe 1 out of 10.
Wow.
It was really, really awful. Okay. Or Couples Retreat, which was my worst movie of 2009.
Okay.
I gave that 0 out of 5.
Wow.
And that translates to 0 out of 10. Exactly.
You can't double that.
That movie had negative redeeming value.
Wow.
I felt like that movie was repeatedly insulting me.
Did you feel like actually taking the DVD out of the player and like desecrating it somehow and like actually punishing it?
Yeah, well, I was in the theater, so I wouldn't have been able
but
to
if
do
you
that,
did.
But, yeah, I would have ripped it in half or
okay.
something. I would my guest on the podcast that week was so furious at the movie that he literally ran out of the theater at the end of the movie. It was quite
Oh, that's bad.
Quite remarkable. Thank you for dredging up these horrible memories.
That's what I'm here for.
Brian Black, thank you very much for joining me this week. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.